Well, just before Advent, we were in the book of Acts. And so if it's right with y'all, I'd like to go back there for a little bit. It's just this amazing book of the early church and just the foundations of faith and what people did as a response to Jesus' work in their life. And just to bring you up to speed to the passage that we're going to be looking at today, if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Acts chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 22. So, in the book of Acts, Jesus has already died. He's risen again. It starts off with the disciples seeing him ascend up into heaven. And Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to, see if you can remember this from like months ago. I want you to, what's the word? Wait. I want you to wait in Jerusalem because the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. And the disciples did something that hadn't done this before. Jesus said to wait and they waited. He said to pray and they prayed. It's so darn hard for us to be still and quiet, and yet they did. And so they're meeting in the upper room, and the Lord started to answer their prayers. And as one day, as they were probably meeting in the temple court somewhere in one of the rooms associated with the temple, the Holy Spirit came, and they started speaking in other tongues and proclaiming the goodness of God in languages they didn't understand. And the people around said, oh, wow, this is amazing. God speaks my language. And the gospel started to spread. And as the church grew and as people got grounded in the faith, and there was all this generosity and sharing and wonderful stuff going on, we started to see some real evidence of the Spirit at work. So Peter and John had been out one day, and there was a person that had been crippled from birth. And he asked Peter and John for some money. And they said, we don't have money, but we'll give you what we have. In the name of Jesus, walk. And the person walked. And, as you can imagine from a very clear miracle, it attracted a lot of attention. And so a crowd is gathered around, and Peter has just finished preaching to that crowd about how Jesus came and how they didn't recognize it and just how they need to get their lives right with God. And, not everybody liked that. And so we start to see the first bits of opposition, formal political opposition to the gospel here in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 21. And we're just going to kind of read through it, and I'll pause and we'll talk about some of the things that we see in there. So Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly, what's the word?
Disturbed. They greatly disturbed.
Because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they started to attract a crowd because of a miracle, and the Sadducees especially were very upset that they were preaching about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. There were three major political groups. Sadducees were one of them. They were the ones primarily in power. They were the ones that had the biggest, kind of most major political offices. And these guys were teaching bad theology in their estimation. So they wanted to check into this. So they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. One of the rules that the Sadducees had is that you could try matters of money in the evening, but if it's matters of life and theology in the heart and stuff that really matters, it has to happen during the daytime. So they put him in jail, wait till the next day. But, verse 4 said, many who heard the message that Peter and John had preached, they believed. And so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other of the high priest's family. If those names ring a bell, it's because these were the same people that tried Jesus. The very same people. The very same council. And you remember what happened back with Peter when this trial with Jesus was going on? What was going on with Peter? Do you remember that? What was he doing? Let's talk. What was he doing? Jesus is on trial. Peter's kind of hanging back a little bit. A little girl comes up to him and says, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus?" And Peter says, "No way." So Peter, a few days ago, he's scared of little girls, right? Little girl comes up to him and says, you look like you know Jesus. And he's like, no way. There's a different Peter in the house. Something's happened to him. Something's changed. Weird. So the very same, the Peter and John are standing before the very same people that condemned Jesus to death. In verse 7, they had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And Peter and John, they're quick to not bring the attention to themselves. They say, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame, and are being asked how he was healed." So we just did a good deed, and you're putting us on trial for that. Okay, if we're going to play that game, let me tell you how it happened. "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of" who? "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved." When they saw that, what did they see? The courage. This is a different man. This is a very different man. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were, what's the word? Astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. One of the reasons why we are so passionate about you getting involved in a small group of some form, it's not because we want you to be smarter so you can win at all the Bible trivia games. Education is good. You know, we want our kids to do well in school. We hope they go to college. We like education. Education is wonderful, but Christianity is ultimately not about education. It's about formation. Ultimately, the reason we want you in a small group, especially if it's one that is, you know, like 30 Days to Understanding the Bible or Introduction to the Book of Mark or like Andrew Tots, these spiritual disciplines, is not so much that you can check it off your list and go, "Oh yeah, been there, done that, I've read that, I'm good." It's because those encountering that material will change you from the inside out. As you learn, like in the spiritual disciplines, you learn to how to pray, how to meditate, how to study. You know, the disciplines of solitude, you will be changed. As you come to understand Scripture, so that as you open up the Bible, that's why we do this, like the Book of Mark or the 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. So you can take this book, you can open it up, you can read it, and God can change you from the inside out. That's why we do it. Not so you can win a Bible trivia contest, but because we believe that the Spirit does essential formative work when you have the tools needed to be able to engage the ways that God talks. They saw that these men had been with Jesus. It's not because they were smart. It's because they were changed. It's because they were different. You can't get courage from a book, people. You can't get what happened to Jason from a book. Now, the book, the Bible, can change you, but it's not just by reading it. It's by letting that word live in your life. That's the point. That's why we do this. Anyways, so they saw that Peter and John, though they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were what? And the word was? They were astonished. Very good. In verse 14, But since they could see the man who was healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. You see somebody's life change, that's pretty good evidence. There's nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin. That's the name of the council. And they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was healed was over 40 years old. I just want to land on that last idea. Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judge. I mean, what would it take for you to be in a spot where you would need to do something that was, from the perspective of the social authorities, was out of bounds in order to be faithful to God's command? In the year 400, there was a monk by the name of Telemachus. And he'd been living in a monastery, a cloistered community, and one day he felt God touch his heart saying, Telemachus, I want you to go to Rome. So he packed up all his belongings, put them in a bag, and started heading towards Rome. And as he's walking through the streets of Rome, there was a lot of activity. And so he asked what was going on, and they said, well, it's the gladiator games are today. And you could see the people heading into the Colosseum. And if you've ever seen the Roman Colosseum, it's huge, huge. And some 80,000 people were meeting in the Colosseum as the gladiator games got started. And historians differ as to what he saw first, whether that was because he saw a friend that was somewhere on the ground, or just he was so moved by what he saw within the context of the gladiator sports. The gladiators would get together and they would say, hail to Caesar, we die for Caesar, and they would fight to the death. And maybe you've seen the movies about it, you know, and the thumbs up and thumbs down and all those kind of things. Well, Telemachus, one man, one monk, was watching all of these things happening, seeing what was going on, and not only what was happening on the field, but what spiritual effect it was happening to the crowd as they watched grown men slaughter each other. And God spoke to his heart. And he jumped over the railing and he stood in the middle of the Colosseum. And he put his hands out in between two gladiators and he cried out, in the name of Jesus, stop! And the crowd, thinking that this was just one of the rodeo clowns, they said, you know, run him through, run him through. And one of the gladiators came up and with the butt of his sword slammed him in the face, knocking him to the ground. Telemachus got up again, his face bruised and bloodied, stood between the two gladiators and said, in the name of Jesus, stop! The crowd, now realizing this was not just a joke, but being quite agitated, cried out, run him through, run him through. And one of the gladiators came up and put a sword through his gut. And as Telemachus fell to the ground and the sand around him turned a deep red, he cried out with his last words, in the name of Jesus, stop! And history records that one by one, the audience of the gladiator games left the Colosseum. And on January 1st of the year 4004, look this up. On January 1st of 404, I got that wrong. 404 AD, the Gladiator Games stopped. Because one man was willing to go against the trend and stand up for something that he knew was wrong. You be the judge. Is it right in God's eyes to listen to you or to him? Could God be calling you to some act, something that might be socially inappropriate, or that you know, maybe everybody in the office doesn't think is such a good thing, but you know this is what you need to do. Perhaps like another Martin Luther King Jr., to stand up and say, this is wrong. Or like another William Wilberforce, who stood up against slavery and for years and years argued in the English Parliament against the practice. Now, all these things are motivated by faith, by what God does in your heart, by what happens in formation as you still your heart and are open to listening to God's lead in your life. So for you, for 2009, will you still your heart? Will you try to listen to what God is doing in your life? Will you be willing to trust that whether well, I mean, for Telemachus, it actually didn't turn out so good. But I'm sure glad God sent him. To be willing to put your life, to offer your life up to him. Is it right to listen to man, or is it right to listen to God? And when there is those seasons where you do need to make the choice, that you would make it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these examples that we see in Scripture, for people like Peter and John that were changed from the inside out by their encounter with Jesus. And Lord, we see these same things happening still today. Guys like Jason, God, thank you so much for that. Or a couple weeks ago, as we were hearing about AG and what you have done in his life, you are changing people from the inside out and giving them courage to stand for what is right. Lord, in those times where we need to make those difficult decisions, would you give us courage? Would you give us insight and wisdom? And Lord, as people are listening to this passage and just asking your spirit how you might be leading, Lord, if there is something particular that you're nudging somebody about today, and this is one of the reasons you brought them into church, to give them courage to have that conversation or to speak out about that issue or to whatever it is, God, would you, just like you touched Peter and John, would you touch them? Would you give them courage? Lord, may the legacy of this church be that of people that were willing to reach out, people that were willing to speak out, not for our sake and not in our name, but in yours and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, would you lead us in song?
I invite you to stand with us.